Hello and welcome to Trailmix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trailmix is the short format episodes of our show, while our long format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time. Trailmix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, environmental justice, and the politics that surround our national park spaces.
Because like it or not, the national parks and the support or lack there of the parks is a political statement. This episode is all about the disappearing history in our public lands.
Okay, so under this current administration in the year of 2026, how have our public lands come under strain? I think the question is, how haven't our public lands come under strain?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're coming up with new ways every day.
It's true. It's true. A lot of it does come down to staffing shortages and sort of this crisis of laying off staff, which is insane while still keeping the parks open and operating at quote unquote full capacity.
And also not giving them operating budget.
Right.
You know,
right.
Or like saying like, oh yeah, well you have to put all of the purchases that you make have to be put on a certain credit card, but now the credit card limit is only 1 cent.
Right.
It's like things like that.
Yeah.
Where you can't possibly
there's no way to do
keep toilet paper in the bathroom or make copies or do anything that you need to do as an organization when you don't have access to anything.
And we covered a lot of this in an earlier episode, but again, we also have threats and actions towards diminishing, shrinking, or outright dismantling park units or public land sites. We also have had a government shutdown, which had a pretty decent impact, like any government shutdown does, on the national parks. And there were, you know, ways in which some states were trying to fund those rangers within those parks and keep parks operating, but on the whole, not great.
No, it's not great. And it's all leading to more challenges and also leading us into the world of erasing history, which has brought us here today.
While we will certainly chat about the bigger issues surrounding our nation and the way in which the erasure of data and information has expanded well beyond the parks in the latter part of this episode, we need to start with the original erasure in the national parks to better understand the motivations we are seeing now. Indigenous erasure.
We can't talk about the national parks or the history of the country at large without talking about the systemic and systematic erasure of indigenous people of this land. We live on stolen land, plain and simple. This land ain't your land. This land ain't our land. Over centuries, we as a people slaughtered, corralled, eradicated, and made small and dependent the people whose land this was, the many indigenous tribes and people that populated it for hundreds of years prior to the arrival of colonizing white Europeans.
As white settlers expanded west, we continued to take and take, sign treaties to establish lands solely for indigenous people, only to later turn around and renege those treaties or alter their terms. Like any non-white group that white settlers encountered as the nation grew and grew, we look to subjugate and take from them at every turn.
In the late 1800s, the Park Service's first fledgling steps were marked with blood as the establishment of Yellowstone by Ulysses S. Grant in 1872 caused the displacement and murder of several different indigenous peoples that either originally called the space home or were forced to move through it to other reservation spaces. This space, which is important and sacred to many, had further exclusions placed on it when courts nullified an off-reservation hunting rights treaty for indigenous people.
Similar stories exist in many of the now park spaces, especially those in the West, as the Louisiana Purchase opened more of the country for development and manifest destiny, which held little regard for people who may have occupied the space prior. In a similar time to the massacres in and around Yellowstone, California actively worked to remove indigenous populations in what is now Joshua Tree National Park, with no permission or knowledge to these people who called this space their home.
This is our history. And the more we try to erase and whitewash it, literally, the sadder it becomes that we cannot accept it, grow from it, and try to make amends, which is sort of what the crux of what a lot of this episode is about in regards to the parks, accepting the role our ancestors had in the devastation, displacement, and murder of so many non-white, non-European individuals, all in the name of progress.
In regards to the park spaces and indigenous peoples, major steps have been taken by some states in returning land and by some parks in co-management. But there's a long way yet to go, and by the looks of things, currently an uncertainty in what might actually transpire as this current administration is actively looking to bar information and history that paints the nation in less than a grandiose light.
That brings us to the executive order, which has prompted so much erasure within the parks themselves, the Restoring Truth and Sanity to American History executive order. This order gives authorization to the Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burgum, the power to do a few important things when it comes to his purview over public lands.
It allows him to restore and reinstate monuments that may have been taken down due to quote-unquote partisan ideology. Think about the many monuments that were taken down as action against the racist ideology of the Confederacy post-COVID, and the names of many spaces, specifically military installations, that were erected or named for heroes of the Confederacy. Many of these monuments and named spaces weren't even erected in the post-Civil War era, but later in the 1950s and 60s during the Civil Rights Movement. Check out our trail mix, Monumental Failure, for more info on this.
And this executive order also gives Secretary Doug Burgum the authorization to ensure that, quote, all public monuments, memorials, statues, markers, or similar properties within the department's jurisdiction do not contain descriptions, depictions, or other content that inappropriately disparage Americans past or living, including persons living in colonial times, and instead focus on the greatness of the achievements and the progress of the American people, or with respect to natural features, the beauty, abundance, and grandeur of the American landscape, end quote.
What kind of propaganda Ministry of Truth bullshit is this? What it basically says is that in the United States, to borrow from 30 Rock's mocking of Kim Jong-il, everything's sunny all the time, always good time beach party. As a citizen of this craven nation, I can tell you that propaganda is quite the opposite of truth.
The other insanity is that it empowers citizens to tattle on history that makes us feel like we were bad people. So that was my baby voice, though it sounded a little like Elmer Fudd, right?
Yeah.
History that makes us feel like we were bad people. So the folks who couldn't pass U.S. history in high school because they couldn't understand why the Civil War was fought are the same folks that are like, white power, we don't want to feel bad about our awful history. You don't say.
And herein lies the issue. The national parks, be they Independence Hall or Death Valley National Park, are America's storyteller. And unfortunately, and here might be a hard pill for you to swallow, a lot of America's history is not great. Looking at you, current history.
And can we just say right now, that's why we study history.
Mm-hmm.
So that we don't repeat ourselves.
Exactly. Because there are hardships, revolutions, murders, lynchings, civil rights movements, horrors, and triumphs. The highest highs and the lowest lows are all wrapped up together in the fabric of this nation. As imperfect as it is still its living, breathing history.
The move to expunge the ugly parts only underscores the ugliness. It says, yeah, I know we've done bad things, but we don't want you to remember that. It posits that anything ugly, cruel, and malicious can just be covered over. It undermines the struggles of the people that helped to birth this ugly, beautiful nation, warts and all.
One of the most high-profile removals since this order was signed in May of 2025 was the removal of placards at Independence Hall in Philadelphia that described the, quote, dirty business of slavery, end quote, at the President's House exhibition on the grounds of Independence Hall in January of 2026.
This exhibition examined the lives of the slaves who lived at the President's House in Philadelphia when it was then the nation's capital. An exhibition that had been up for 15 years, the placards at the site, which is an essentially recreated floor plan of the house, which stood near Independence Hall, helped to juxtapose the use of slaves in a nation which was built on freedom. While including details about the lives of those enslaved at the site, it also included broader information about the history of slavery in the United States.
The city of Philadelphia has since sued in federal court as the original agreement between the Park Service and the city allowed for the city to have a say in what was changed on or with these placards. While this is high profile, considering the topic and its position at the doorstep of democracy in Philadelphia, it is far from the first of these types of erasures within the national parks.
In fact, information on slavery, LGBTQ history and people, the working conditions of immigrants and women, and climate change information have all been either flagged for review or taken down from web pages and signage within the parks. Along with the removal of the placards at the president's house, information about the brutal violence endured by enslaved people has been removed from Harpers Ferry Historic Park in West Virginia. The image of the scourged back depicting an enslaved man named Peter with prominent whip scars across his back has been taken down or removed from web pages and sites where it was displayed to underscore the horrors of slavery.
At Little Bighorn Battlefield National Monument, signs have been pulled that have described the U.S. as being, quote, hungry for gold and land, end quote, which is why they broke promises to the native peoples so often. Another sign here talks about the horrors of U.S.-run boarding schools for indigenous children and how they, among other things, erase their cultural identities and language. This is further underscored by the frequent flagging of exhibits throughout the parks that national park land once belonged to Native tribes and that they were forcibly removed. Other sites like Bensold Fort National Historic Site and Hubble Trading Post National Historic Site have had signage pulled or altered as they described the motivations of white settlers and their treatment of indigenous people of the land in less than flattering light.
Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala. All in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
In regards to climate change information, multiple national park sites have been ordered to remove their climate change information on their web pages. While in Acadia National Park, signage at the top of Cadillac Mountain and in the Great Meadow Wetland have been removed, Glacier National Park has also seen literature and signage removed that refers to the retreat of glaciers and the impact of human-made climate change on the environment. And a sign about sea level rise at Fort Sumter, which experiences frequent flooding events, has also found its way into a list of now eradicated information.
The rights of other minority groups, women, immigrants, and LGBTQ plus people have seen information about them disappear on NPS webpages and at sites throughout the park system. The Stonewall National Monuments webpage has removed information about transgendered individuals and instead focuses on the L, G, and B initials over all others. And at Lowell National Historic Park in Massachusetts, rangers have been ordered to stop showing films that explore the horrific working conditions of immigrants and women.
We do just want to acknowledge that the Stonewall National Monument Visitor Center is independently owned and operated, mm-hmm. where no erasure has occurred,
right,
because
exactly.
They determine what that looks like.
Yep.
That is independently owned and operated by the 501c3 nonprofit Pride Life. Okay, so here we are. There's no way to proceed from this moment ever, period. The only way to proceed is that when we look at American history, part of looking at American history from now on, forever and ever and always, must be always and forever the attempt to erase history while it was being recorded.
Right.
That is so prominent here in America. It's so horrible and so disgusting and ugly and gross, but it is like a core part of what this nation has always done, mm-hmm. which is we experience something, we only want the victors to be remembered, right. The narrative is crafted a certain way, and then the signs try to get removed, and then when the truth tries to come out, we accept it, and then somebody comes in and tries to take it away and tries to promote a different narrative. I mean, it's like there's no way from now on. I just don't think we could ever truly, to truly understand American history, not it be like the study of U.S. history and propaganda. Like, yeah. I feel like that's what class is now. Like, yeah. What was the propaganda? What actually happened? Sure. And then why did propaganda try and come in here? Oh, yeah. In order to further the views of billionaires or this particular political party, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. this particular, you know, disgusting money hungry person sitting in a presidency. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Or a whole religious movement.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Sorry, girlies. Yeah. I mean, it's all about controlling the narrative. I wouldn't say that it's a uniquely American thing. I do think that we do it well. Ugh, because to the victors do go the spoils. And then you often are hearing these other viewpoints after the fact, and then it's sort of like, how do we form an opinion based off of multiple viewpoints on what history is? And I mean, I think that's always what history has been. It is a story of the people who came out on top most of the time. We're not often afforded the point of view of the other side or the other there's always a narrative that is putting one person, group, political party above the other without necessarily giving the context. And that's part of the job of the history teacher or the historian, is to try to do that. And I think that's what we have to continue to try to do, because otherwise you've erased the narrative completely and you just are doing this to exercise control.
Right. Yeah. Right. Without a doubt. The narrative control is out of control.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Mm-hmm. And the task of the National Park Service is to preserve narrative. And there are valuable things to learn. They're incredibly valuable, deeply valuable things to learn from the ugly, which is why it has to stay. As we close this episode, we need to look at the bigger picture of data loss and information suppression that is happening under our current authoritarian, as what is happening in the parks in regards to erasing history and the stories of non-white individuals is playing out in the scientific and historical communities at large.
And why do fascist regimes seek to erase history, control what information is available, and seek to undermine educational institutions? I think the two adages that underscore what is happening under this current regime are knowledge is power, and to the victor goes the spoils. What we have seen in the last year plus of the second time around president is an attitude of erasure that omits historical records to paint rosier pictures of the nation and its history than exists. This type of erasure allows dictators and authoritarian regimes to control the flow of information and the understanding of historical events and how they have unfolded in the past and could once again unfold. But the erasure of history to better the optics of the nation and control the narrative are eclipsed only by the fact that scientific information on a manner of topics, from climate change data to important medical information on the CDC's website, have also been suppressed, shelved, or deleted entirely from public access.
From history, we know that authoritarian regimes often don't sweep democracy away in one fell swoop, but work to chip away and erode it over time. Despite the lack of progressive action against this from Congress and the courts, and despite that, at times it feels like both these entities are actively abetting the erosion of our 250-year-old republic, there are certain guardrails, norms, and public opinion that still hold some sway.
But the phrase, democracy dies in the darkness, even though adopted by the then Bezos-owned Washington Post, which is interesting considering he just laid off one-third of his staff, absolutely has a point. Loss of knowledge, loss of access to historical and scientific data, and lack of accountability for past actions and pressure for future humanitarian goals allows those in power to exercise more control with impunity.
According to Jennifer Jones, the program director of the Center for Science and Democracy. There are several things that authoritarian regimes do in their quest for dominance. They include controlling information and suppressing dissent, curtailing civil rights, centralizing power and eliminating checks and balances, disregarding the rule of law, dividing the country between us and them, targeting and discriminating against vulnerable communities, and undermining free and fair elections.
Just in the early months of 2026, you can essentially check all these boxes when it comes to the current administration. Information regarding a multitude of things, including the Epstein files, has been delayed or suppressed. Dissent in Minnesota has been absolutely suppressed, as have been the civil rights of the individuals of that city, specifically those who have lost their lives. Reporters have been arrested with direct violation to Article 1 of the Constitution. Power has been taken away from Congress to make war and levy tariffs, and court orders have either been flaunted or flirted with being ignored. The use of ICE as a force to target immigrant communities is seeking to drive a wedge between the nation while also using these same communities as scapegoats for problems which they are not causing. And most recently, a push for control of voter rolls for each of the states by the federal government, including the seizure of rolls and records in Fulton County, Georgia, undermined elections based on what is a lie that has continued to be perpetrated and is unfounded, that the 2020 election was falsely won by Joe Biden.
Yeah. So all of that has occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it that you say all the time?
This is the bad place.
Right.
Because right. It is. We are currently living in the bad place.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to not see a pattern here, even with our high degree of pattern recognition.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, I do believe that we will be able to come out of this and that we will be able to hold people accountable for their actions.
So.
And we are going to have to rebuild. But I do think that we cannot get nostalgic Mm-mm. for the way things used to be, Mm-mm. because the way things used to be did not serve everyone here.
No.
When in our rebuilding, we have to rebuild differently, and maybe the word rebuild isn't the right word,
right.
But when we move together toward inclusion
and equity,
then we have to ensure that all people have the access that they deserve that they didn't have before. The erosion of societal norms and the pressure campaign against science, history, and law has spurred many to action, which, despite the dangers to their livelihoods, personhood, and citizenship, show what an active resistance looks like. People are turning out to protest, are actively striking, and are working tirelessly to salvage data from government websites so that the rich tapestry of knowledge and intellectual pursuit of generations worth of contributors is not lost for good.
This is by no means an easy fight to fight, especially when our own government is actively campaigning against truth. But it is a fight that must continue to be fought. This nation, no matter how imperfect it is, and believe me, there is a lot of imperfect, cannot be allowed to kowtow to agents of chaos masquerading as heroes. The national parks hold a place as a storyteller because they are a place where history has occurred and in many ways is still living. Preserving our history, no matter how ugly it is the only way to understand what should be remembered and mourned, what should no longer be held as ideal, and what should inspire us to a brighter, more equitable future. The sources for this episode are the article, National Park Service Removes Exhibit on People Enslaved by George Washington from EqualJusticeInitiative.org.
The article, Erasing History, Silencing Silence by Kyle Grotzinger, Lam Ho, and Lynn Accountant from the National Parks Conservation Association.
The Department of the Interior's website, DOI.gov.
The article, Ethnic Cleansing and Continued Indigenous Erasure Within the National Park Service by Samantha Klein, published by the University of Washington School of Marine and Environmental Affairs.
The article, Why Erasing Native Stories from Our Parks and Public Lands Hurts All Americans by Levi Rickert, published by Native News Online.
The article, Administration Censors Climate Science Harms Visitor Experience at Historic Fort Sumter, by Kyle Grotzinger, published by the National Parks Conservation Association.
The article, Warning Signs, Authoritarian Constraints on Scientific Inquiry and the Recent Past, by James T. Andrews, published by the Social Science Research Council.
The article, What Authoritarian Regimes Do, by Jennifer Jones, published by the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeattheNationalParks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeattheNationalParks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Scleos on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.